new year. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book. You got it. Joshua. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. We'll be looking at verses 14 and 15 this morning. God has brought us now into 2017, hasn't He? And I think the words of Joshua are very fitting for us, as it was 1200 BC. And now it's been quite a few years, but I believe that the principles are still the same for us. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15. These are some of Joshua's last words to the children of Israel that were living during his time. Joshua says in chapter 14 to 15, "Now therefore," he says, "fear the Lord. Serve Him sincerely and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were in the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for men like Joshua. Thank you for men of God. Lord, we thank you for the men of God we have in this church. And Lord, we pray that you would make us men and women of strong, uncompromising convictions. That we will serve God. That we will serve you with all our heart. Lord, I pray that as this year has now come upon us, dear Father, that in this year we will serve you as we have in other years. That we would be committed, that we would serve you with all our hearts, dear Father. Lord, you deserve our praise. You deserve all glory and honor. And Lord, we are living for this very reason, is to give you glory and praise and honor. This is why we exist. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look at the words of Joshua, as we study his words. And I pray, Father, it would take it to our hearts. Oh, Lord, I pray that 2017 will be a year of greater commitment, of greater love, of greater knowledge, greater faith. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would help us to move forward and upward, closer, more in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Father, may you encourage us this morning and prepare our hearts as we think about the Lord's table, as we remember the great sacrifice of our Savior and our Shepherd. Bless us, we pray. In all these things we ask, and I thank you for this great privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I was thinking throughout the week what it would be a great message for a new year. And I thought, well, I love Matthew and I love studying the book of Matthew, but I want to just really focus on this coming year, and I wanted to encourage you and strengthen you this morning when it comes to 2017. And so I thought about Joshua, and as you saw, John read Joshua to be very courageous before he went into the land. And the bottom line was that Joshua was to keep the law of Moses, to keep the Torah, and not to turn to the left or to the right, and to trust in God with all his heart. We find now at the end of Joshua, Joshua now is an elderly man. And we see that Joshua now gathers the people together. Before we look at chapter 24 again, look at chapter 23 just to give us some background. This is Joshua's farewell address in chapters 23 and 24. Have you ever wondered, if you found yourself on the last days of your life, on your deathbed, what would be your final words to your children or to your family? What would you say to them? Would you say to them to get a better job? What would you say? To accumulate more wealth? Well, if you belong to the Lord, we think spiritually, don't we? We do not want to be rich so much in this life as we want to be rich towards God. And we learn that Joshua has final words before his departure. This is what he says to the elders in Joshua chapter 23. Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies and round about, that Joshua was old and advanced in years. And Joshua called to all Israel for their elders and their heads and their judges and for the officers and said to them, I am old, advanced in years. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Verse 6, the message given to Joshua, he gives to his elders and the leaders. Therefore, be what? Be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you. You shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them nor bow down to them. And so we see Joshua exhorting the elders and the leaders and the officers and the judges to continue to walk the straight and narrow path of righteousness and obedience to the word. And so, beloved, God calls us now, 2017. We're not to compromise. We're not to waver, but we're to continue on the path of righteousness and obedience to God, hopefully in a greater way, right? And so Joshua says in verse 14, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And so he tells the people, the leaders, look, guys, I'm old. I'm going away. But you must continue on the path. You must keep the course. And beloved, these are the words I'm going to share with my children when it's my time. These are the words I share with you now. To keep the course. To stay strong. To be men and women of convictions. To stay in the path of righteousness. Do not compromise. But stay faithful until death. Walking with the Lord. And now look at chapter 24. It gives us the background. And now Joshua gathers all the tribes of Israel together. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 1, then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob, and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron. And I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. Verse 7. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. And they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel has sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent a hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites. But now with your sword, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build. And you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. And this is where we bring ourselves now. Now, therefore, Joshua says, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which were your fathers. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, including the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions for your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Isn't that a great covenant? Beloved, I think about this new year. And I think that you and I, we need to once again think about our commitment to Christ, our commitment to the living God. And we learned that Joshua, when he shared with the children of Israel in verses 14 and 15, he's talking about total commitment to God. And in verse 14, we see, first of all, he tells them what they should be doing. They should be fearing the Lord and serving the Lord. And the second part of his exhortation is how they should serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And then finally, Joshua makes his statement and his conviction. As for me and my house, whatever you guys choose to do, it's between you and God. But as for me and my home, we will serve the Lord. That's His commitment. That's His conviction. And beloved, I believe that you and I need to have the same conviction as Joshua. Let's look at the first part here of what we should be doing. And in light of all that God has done for Israel, Joshua brings them to the exhortation in verse 14. The first part of verse 14. Now he says, Therefore is in light of all that I've shared with you, all the faithfulness of God for all of your life, and how He delivered them from Egypt. Now, therefore, in light of this, what are we to do? Fear the Lord. You see, God did not spare those nations that they conquered and delivered. But He conquered them and destroyed them. Some of them He completely annihilated. That's a God to be feared, isn't it? That's a God to have reverence for. Fear the Lord. And what else? Two commands there. Serve Him. Serve Him. And so we see that Joshua calls them to make this total commitment. Fear God. We learn in Ecclesiastes, this is the whole duty of man, isn't it? The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And when you and I are not walking in the fear of the Lord and obeying Him, we are in disobedience to God. Then I say, well, Pastor, what about love? Yes, love the Lord. But you need to have a healthy respect and reverence for the living God. Because your very life is in His hands. And He'll take it. Yes, even if you are His child, He'll take your life. God has the power of life and death. He is the creator of all things. We are to fear Him because God is a God of judgment. Joshua calls on all of Israel to decide, to make up their minds. And why is he saying that? Because he knows that some of them are idolaters. Though they are the nation of Israel, though they are the children of Israel and the children of Abraham, some of them are double-minded. And they have one foot with the Lord and one foot with a foreign God. And Joshua calls them out. You need to make up your mind. And so he's calling the people to stop being divided in their hearts, to stop being lukewarm, but rather to live 100% for the living God. It reminds me a lot of David as his final words to his son, Solomon, go with me to 1 Kings, would you? Go right over to the three books. To 1 Kings, chapter 2. David's final words to his son Solomon. David calls Solomon to be a man. Be a real man. Be a man of God. 1 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I love this. You know, when it comes down right to your final hours or your final days of life, you're not going to think about your bank account. You're not going to think about your 401ks. You're not going to think about your cars. You're going to think about your relationship with the living God. That's all that matters. Everything else, beloved, is peripheral. Please understand this. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. God must be your priority. God must be your first love. God must be the reason why you exist and you live. And so, beloved, the Lord must be priority, and His word is right there alongside of that. Listen to what David says to Solomon. Chapter 2, verse 1 of 1 Kings. Now the days of David drew near and that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son. He says, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong. Therefore, and what? Prove yourself a man. What kind of a man? Man of God. How does he do that? Now, I'm glad you asked that question. Verse 3. And keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, and His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. That the Lord may fulfill His word which He spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed in their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, He said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. And so we see that David's final words are very similar to Joshua. To walk in the fear of the Lord and to obey His word. And I love what David says. And so, beloved, what are the final words, or what's the word of exhortation regarding this year, 2017? To walk in the fear of the Lord and serve Him only. Beloved, please understand, every man serves someone. You understand that? You might say, Pastor, I'm not serving anyone. Yes, you are. You're serving yourself. Every man serves someone. Every man lives for someone or something. Every man, every woman. So let me ask you, who are you living for? For yourself? For your job? Or what are you living for? Make it the Lord. Live for the Lord. To honor Him. To fear Him. That is what a blessed man looks like. Go with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. This is what a blessed man looks like. A blessed man walks in the fear of the Lord, serves the Lord. What does that look like? Well, it is a man who takes God's word to his heart and takes it seriously. How do you take God's word? Do you tremble at His word? Or maybe you just pick it up once a week when churches are coming. Beloved, we need to take God's word to our heart. We need to take God's word seriously. Psalm 1 talks about the blessed man and the cursed man. Some of these words are very similar to Joshua chapter 1. Listen to what David writes of the man that is blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. This man is careful with the company that he keeps. What kind of people does he listen to? What kind of people does he walk with? What kind of people are his good and intimate friends? Are they godly? Are they righteous? Are they holy? Are they people that love God? Or are they the ungodly and sinners and scornful? Be careful. If your friends are the ungodly and the sinners and the scornful, they're going to have an influence over you. You're not to listen to their counsel. You're not to stand where they are. You're not to sit where they sit. You're to be set apart unto God. And so this man who does not listen to this counsel, who does not stand in their path or sits in their seat, this man, rather, his delight is in what? Is in the law of the Lord. That's God's word. That's the scriptures. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, what does he do? Reads it day and night? He goes deeper than that, doesn't he? And in His law, he meditates day and night. This man, when it comes to his thought life, he's in control. You know, what happens when a person sins? Before a person sins, he's already thinking about the sin many times. Your thoughts have to be in control, beloved. Your meditation needs to be on God's word, not on the passions and the lusts of your flesh, but on God's word, God's truth. And so we learned that if you're meditating on God's word and God's truth, you're going to be blessed. In fact, not only did he meditate on it, verse 2 says he delights in it. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. What kind of person is this going to be, spiritually speaking? Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And I told you already, the word planted there is a Hebrew word for transplanted. He's a man that's been transplanted, maybe from the desert now near the rivers. He shall be like a tree that's transplanted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And look at this. I like this. And whatever he does, what? Shall prosper. Does that mean a man's going to be filthy rich? No. What that means is this man is going to please God. And when he pleases God and when he honors God, God is going to honor this man. Beloved, please understand this. This is what a blessed man looks like. One who meditates on God's word, delights in God's word, does not keep company with ungodly or sinners or the scornful, but rather he's in God's word. He delights in it. He's going to be like a tree. And he's going to give us fruit in the right season. And whatever he does, he's going to prosper. You know, a man that honors God, God's ear is open to that man or that woman. When you honor, when you live your life to honor God sincerely from your heart, God's ears are open to you. But if you're playing games with the Lord and you have one foot in the church and one foot being a Christian, the other foot with the world, you're a double-minded person. God calls us to fear the Lord and serve him. Look at the opposite of this, verse 4. Here's a cursed man. But the ungodly, they're not so. They're not like this man. They don't delight in God's word. They don't meditate on his word. But rather, they listen to the counsel of the ungodly. They stand with the sinners. They sit with the scornful. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but they're like chaff. You know what chaff is? It's like the husk on the wheat, on the barley. You ever bought those peanuts and you take them out of that little thing and you have the little brown stuff and it just kind of flies away? The ungodly are not so, but they're like chaff, which a wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You want to be blessed? Take God's word to your heart. Meditate on it. Delight in it. Love God's word. To obey God's word is to obey God. So we have to take God's word seriously. Fear the Lord. Serve him. This is a blessed man. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus said, you cannot serve. What? You can't serve two masters. So you and I, we have to make up our mind. All the time. Am I going to serve myself? Am I going to honor and exalt myself? Or am I going to serve God? Or am I going to serve a person? Or am I going to serve God? We must honor God. Serve him. So my question to you this morning is, who are you serving today? Here's another question. Who are you living for? Or what are you living for? If it's not for the Lord, then you're dealing with something temporary. Have you made up your mind to fear the Lord and serve him alone? You see, it's not a 50% here and 50% here. It's 100%. 100% living for the Lord. Serving the Lord. You know why Christians are so miserable today? Because they're not 100% surrendered to Christ. Many of them, they have trusted the Lord and maybe they're baby Christians. And they're walking with the Lord, but there's still a part of them that still struggles. And many times because they have not 100% surrendered, 100% given their all to God, but they're holding back. You know what? That's one miserable person. That's a divided heart. And so, beloved, my exhortation to you is to surrender 100% to the Lord. You might say, Pastor, I'm saved. Jesus is my Savior. And I've given him 90%, right? No, beloved, it's got to be all the way. You want to be blessed, you need to be completely surrendered to the living God. That's how you'll be blessed. Otherwise, you're serving two masters. Go back with me to Joshua. So he tells us what we should be doing. Fear the Lord and serve him. That's the whole duty of man, isn't it? That's protocol. Fear the Lord and serve him. And praise God that Joshua tells us how. We heard the words of David, right? I love what David said to Solomon. What did he say? How was Solomon to serve the Lord? With all his heart. What else? With all his soul. What does that mean? That means, Solomon, don't go in half-hearted. Don't serve God with half your heart. Don't go in just, you know, giving him a certain percentage. Go in all out for the Lord.
all your heart, all your soul. Isn't that the great commandment? To love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Have you done that? And beloved, that's the only way to live the Christian life. It's all in. And so we learn that Joshua shared with us in verse 14, not only what we should be doing, but how. He says in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him how? Sincerity and in truth. That's the innermost part of you. That's 100%. And put away the gods of your fathers. And they say, well, that doesn't apply to us. Well, it could. If you look at your fathers and fathers before that, you know, I don't know if they were Christians. If they weren't, they were serving other gods. But as for you and I who are redeemed, this is what the Lord looks for. He looks for a person that's 100%. That's a sincere person, isn't it? A sincere person. So Joshua calls Israel to serve God, not half-hearted, but with all their hearts. With all their hearts. You know, Jesus said about the Pharisees, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, beloved, that's a hypocritical way of doing things. You can come to church, you can read your Bible, you can pray, but are you doing it with all your heart? Are you praying to God with all your heart? Are you here with all your heart? With all your soul? 100% given to God? Or you're here, you're just going through the motions. Okay, let's get through this time, you know. I got to go see that football game, and I got to read through this, and, you know, let's get through this. Okay, let's get through it. That's not worshiping God. You have another God, right? There's another God in your life, and that's yourself. We have to worship God with all our heart, all our soul, with sincerity. Not halfway, beloved. Not lukewarm. Psalm 9, go with me there. Look how many times you see these psalters talking about the whole heart, with all their heart. Psalm 9, look at verse 1. In fact, we just studied that last Wednesday. Psalm 9. And we're going to be moving fast, so we're going to look at Psalm 9, Psalm 86, Psalm 111. Because I want you to see what they have in common there. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with what? With my whole heart. That's the only type of praise that's pleasing to God. One with all your heart, with your whole heart. So when you come, you praise Him with all that's within you. That's sincerity, beloved. With your whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing to your name, O Most High. How? With my whole heart. Have you ever used that? With all my heart. What do you mean when you say that? What do you mean when you say with all my heart? That means you're very sincere, doesn't it? That means that you're doing with all who you are on the inside. Look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89. You got to be quick with your fingers. Psalm 89. I'm sorry, 86. Got to be quick with your eyeballs too. Psalm 86, verse 11 and 12. Psalm 86. 11, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with what? All my heart. And I will glorify your name forevermore. Go now to Psalm 111. 111. Verses 1 and 2. Psalm 111, verses 1 and 2. After that, we'll jump over to Psalm 119. Psalm 111, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with what?
with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Jump over to Psalm 119. 119, verses 1 to 3. Then we'll jump over to verse 58. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 3. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with what? With the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. This is a sincere person He's talking about. Verse 57 and 58, same Psalter. 57, He says, "You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep Your words. I entreated Your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to Your word." And finally, Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2. "I will praise You with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to You. I will worship toward Your holy temple and praise Your name for Your loving kindness and Your truth. For You have magnified Your word above all Your name." So, what's the point here? When we come and we worship God, we do it with all our heart. When we serve God, we do it with all our heart. That's the only way to do it. And so, beloved, when you come and you worship, when you read the word, when you pray, this is what is acceptable to God. With all your heart. Not half-hearted, not playing games, not being double-minded. With all your heart. These are the type of people that God is seeking, right? In John 4, that's what He said to the woman at the well. He seeks those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. The spirit is the innermost part of us. Psalm 51, David says, "You desire truth." Where? In their innermost parts. That's where God desires truth. Only God can see your heart. I can't. You can fool your family, you can fool me, you can fool your church people. You cannot fool God. He looks at your heart, whether you're sincere and whether you love Him, and whether you're serving Him with all your heart. We can't fool God. And so, beloved, the Lord calls us to serve Him in this fashion, with all our heart, in spirit and in truth. Romans chapter 12, go with me there. This is what Paul is calling the church to in Romans 12, isn't he? You guys know this verse. Boy, I'll tell you, this verse just cuts off my head. It's like, whew, Paul, you're calling me to be a living sacrifice, isn't he? The word of God says, "And those who belong to Christ," in Galatians 5:24, "And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with His passions and desires." God calls us, beloved, to live for Him completely. We see here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a dead sacrifice." It'd be all over, right? I'm dead. It's done. A living sacrifice. That sounds painful. "Holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or your reasonable service. And do not be conformed." Here would be another translation. Stop being conformed. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You see where the word of God comes in your mind? "That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, that to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." If you find yourself to be a very prideful person, you're deluded. You're dust. You're like a little piece of dust having pride. Not to think of himself more highly than you have to think, but to think soberly as God has. Doubt each one a measure of faith. Everybody's at a different level. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. Paul is calling them to be faithful in serving the Lord. Verse 7. Or ministering, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Now, verse 11 is really important. Not lagging behind. You know, when it comes to the church, when it comes to serving God, you should not be the last person through the door. You should be the first person through the door. Not lagging behind, but the one in front. That's what a true person, a sincere person looks like. A person that's lagging behind is a half-hearted person, right? This is a half-hearted person that lags behind. Verse 11 says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. When God calls you to serve, He wants you to be on fire. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to serve Him with all your heart and soul and mind. And so, beloved, when it comes to serving God, when it comes to ministering, do it with all your heart. Be diligent in doing it. Be on fire. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So we see here, Paul is telling us how we ought to serve. What does a living sacrifice look like? He's telling us. It is a person who is serving God with all his heart. And he breaks it down for us right here. Serving on fire, fervently, serving God, rejoicing. That's the only way to serve, isn't it? So let me ask you, are you serving God with all your heart? Or are you like kind of doing half-heartedly? Even when you come to church, you've heard of people who are lukewarm Christians. You know, lukewarm. You can't be lukewarm. You got to be with all your heart serving, giving, honoring God. Or you're the type of person where you're satisfied letting everybody else do the work, right? Are you that type of person? You're satisfied letting others evangelize, letting others serve, letting others give, letting others teach. It should be you, right? You and I need to be the ones involved, serving with all our heart. But when others, you know, they say in most churches, like, you know, only 10% of the people are doing most of the work. That's the way, that it shouldn't be that way. So you need to find a place where you need to serve, where you need to be honoring God and on fire, serving God with all your heart. And that's why I praise God. I'm thankful when people join the church because they're committed to this body. And now we need to serve. You know, when we have a church meeting, right, a business meeting, you know how many people show up? Alan, how many people show up?
12 to 15.
And if you're a part of this body, you need to be here. This is your church. You need to be here. Be a part of this church. Find out what's going on. Where can you serve? Where are the needs? You're not going to find that out if you're not in the business meeting. So we're lagging behind, beloved, when it comes to certain areas in our church. We're lagging behind when it comes to those business meetings, when it comes to serving in areas. You need to be on fire and serve God with all your heart and be on fire for the Lord. And so that's what we need to do. Because we know that the Lord does not, in fact, in Romans, Revelation chapter 3, He does not like lukewarm Christians. Remember that? That was a lukewarm church. Go back with me to Joshua. So Joshua tells us what we should be doing. He tells us how we should be doing this sincerely. And then, praise God, Joshua shares with us his own convictions. Joshua 14 and 15. Now, therefore, he says, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Can't get clearer than that. And if it seems evil to you, maybe some of you feel like, I don't want to do this. You know, maybe some of the children of Israel felt that way. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. I'll tell you what, a man may serve another person, another God, but there's truly one God and one Son of God. And they're just going to curse themselves. But Joshua is just telling them. He's calling them out to stop being a phony. Isn't that true? Don't be a phony. Don't be a fake. Be all in or all out. But don't be half in, half out. Be all in or all out. That's what Joshua's calling them to. If you want to serve the gods of your father, then go. Go have fun. But understand this, God's going to judge you. That's what Ecclesiastes says. Go ahead, young man. Go fulfill the desires of your heart. But remember one thing. All that you do, God's going to bring you into judgment. Just remember that. So, Joshua's telling him, you want to go do that? Go. That's not what I'm going to do. Probably want to answer that. So he says, you want to go to the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell? But Joshua says, but as for me, I've already made up my mind, right? And beloved, you have to make up your mind. You have to be a man or woman of conviction. You have to decide where you're going to not compromise. Because, and when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to obedience, when it comes to living, you have to make up your mind who you're going to live for, what you're going to live for, how you're going to live. You have to have clear convictions. So Joshua has already made up his mind, and that's what he says. As for me and my house, I love that he says my house, because he's the head of his home. That's one of the requirements of leadership. As for me and my house, what does he say? We will serve the Lord. You want to go and do other things? Go ahead. Not us. This is where we stand. Right? We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to honor him. This is how we will live. This is how we will die. That's his conviction. What are your convictions? What are your convictions regarding the Lord? What are your convictions regarding serving the Lord? What are your standards regarding doctrine, regarding obedience, regarding living? Have you ever thought about that? You have to really think about that, because you need to be a man or woman of convictions. And you need to be all in, serving God. So here's Joshua showing his convictions and his leadership. That when it comes to himself and his home, he's going to serve the Lord. You see, Joshua can't please the people, right? They always tell you, you can't please the people, you know, all the people, all of the time, right? You just can't. Then why bother? Why don't you just please God? You know what? People are going to be offended. That's okay. It's only God that matters. Now, I'm not saying to be ungracious or unkind. I'm simply saying you need to please God. A true man of God, woman of God, is going to choose to do right no matter what. And sometimes it will cost you. That's okay. You're honoring the Lord. And that's what Joshua was. He was a true leader. He did what was right, not what was popular. He did what was right and what is right. And so you and I are called to be this type of a man. Proverbs 20, go with me there. Proverbs. Chapter 20. Verses 6 and 7. The Word of God says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men proclaim each his own goodness. You know, there are a lot of braggarts out there. Oh, Pastor, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. And most men proclaim their own goodness, but who can find what? Who can find a faithful man? You know, don't tell me, do it. Right? It's like a lot of talkers out there. Not a whole lot of doers. A faithful man. Who can find a faithful man? One that's faithful in all that he does. Verse 7, the righteous man walks, how? In his integrity. In other words, he has convictions. This is a man who follows his convictions. That's a man who walks in his integrity. A righteous man walks in his integrity. Listen to this. His children are blessed after him. Because he's giving their example. He's being their example. A righteous man walks in his integrity. That was Joshua. He was a servant. He was a man who serves God with all his heart. And he's calling the children of Israel to be what he's been doing for years. And as you know, the children of Israel only lasted for a short time in the time of Joshua and his elders. But if you read the book of Judges, many of them did not pass on the truth of God's word and were not faithful. And they didn't teach their children. In the book of Judges, it says, there rose a generation that did not know the Lord because they were not being faithful. God calls us to serve him, doesn't he? The Bible says in John 12, go with me there, in John chapter 12, being a servant of the Lord, a true servant with all our heart, it means that we need to die to ourselves, beloved. We have to die to ourselves. We're not number one. God is number one. God's people are number one. In John chapter 12, we see our Lord Jesus, our example. Verse 23. Our Lord Jesus is coming near to the cross. And Jesus is a perfect picture of the suffering servant who suffers for others. It says in verse 23 of John chapter 12, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat does what? Falls into the ground and dies. It remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. You see, our Lord came and he died, didn't he? And because of our Lord Jesus, we are forgiven and saved. But you see, the concept is still the same for us. Not that we have to physically die. God may call us to physically die. But definitely God calls us to crucify the flesh. To die to ourselves. That we may bear fruit. Verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him what? Let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. You want God to honor you? Serve him. Honor him with all your heart, with all your soul. The servant must die to himself. So let me ask you again, what are your convictions? Have you ever said, this is my conviction? This is how I'm going to live? You have to really think about those things. I mean, there's so many things to think about, right? Do you hold your convictions at work or do you compromise? Do you hold your convictions at home? You have to have standards, beloved. You got to have conviction. Joshua made it very clear. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me say this in closing. In this passage of Scripture, Joshua is calling the nation of Israel to total commitment, isn't he? Total commitment. To fear the Lord and to serve him alone with all their heart, with a sincere heart. Beloved, this is why every man and woman is created. We're not created to please ourselves. We're created to honor God, to serve the Lord. But as you know, many, many years ago, Sin came into this world, and what happened? Man was serving God, but sin entered the world. Adam sinned against the Lord. And when sin came in, what happened? That sin corrupted every man, didn't it? Every man became corrupt. Every man became lawless. Every man, according to the Word of God, that when it comes to man's sin separates that man or that woman from God. Today, if you look at mankind, their natural state is they're lost, right? They're lost. Because most people, the way they live today, they're self-centered and self-seeking. Every man has sinned against God. And because every man has sinned against God, what does man deserve? The Bible says they deserve an eternal hell. Every man deserves that. Nobody's like good enough to go to heaven because they've broken God's law. Every man deserves God's judgment. Every man deserves God's wrath. But praise God that He is a God of mercy, isn't He? So, beloved, man's greatest need is the forgiveness of God. It's not money, it's not help, it's the forgiveness of God. And this is why God sent His Son, Jesus. God sent His only begotten Son into this world to save sinners. Christ Himself, being God, came in the form of sinful flesh that He may deliver, that He may save sinners from the wrath of God. Jesus died, He was buried, and 3 days later, what happened? He rose from the dead. Do you believe that? But only those, beloved, please listen. Only those who truly repent and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will be forgiven. Only those that do that. So my question is, are you saved? Have you repented of your sin? Are you trusting in Christ as Savior and Lord? I pray that you do. And I do pray that if you haven't done that, that you do it today. You may not be here tomorrow. I'm going to ask the men to come forward. Rod, if you gather the men together for this Lord's table. I will be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We take the communion once a month, every first Sunday of the month. The Lord has commanded us to partake of this bread and this drink in remembrance of His death, His death on the cross, His burial and His resurrection, of the new covenant He's made with us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This, beloved, is for those who have trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. If you have not yet trusted in Christ, I ask that you please refrain from this. And those of you that have trusted in Christ, that we would bow our heads and make sure our heart is right with the Lord. Make sure your sin is confessed, that we may partake of this with the heart that's been cleansed. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank You so much that we have forgiveness through our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is our sin offering. And because of our Lord Jesus, You have clothed us in His righteousness. I'm so thankful, Lord, for the forgiveness that we have and we enjoy, dear Father, and we're able to fellowship. And now, Lord, I ask you may bless this bread that represents the body of our Lord Jesus. And we ask now, Lord, that you may bless it. And Lord, bless this day, we ask. And we thank you, and we ask that your hand will be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.